This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.
Today is the big day for Simon Harris, who will become Taoiseach after a Dáil vote later this morning. Our youngest ever Taoiseach will then reveal his cabinet reshuffle, by which he'll hope to signal a fresh start for the government and his party, Fine Gael. But can the Wicklow TD turn youthful enthusiasm into meaningful action? And how well will he handle the sudden pressure of the highest office in this country? This is In the News from the Irish Times. I'm Sarah Pollock. Today, how will Simon Harris's first day in office go, and what happens next? Pat Leahy is the Irish Times political editor. Pat, before we talk about the logistics of today, can we take a look back at the 2.5 weeks since Leo Varadkar announced his decision to step down as Taoiseach and Fine Gael leader? We initially believed that there would be a contest held to elect a new leader of the party, and by extension, the country. But it quickly became apparent that Simon Harris was the only name in the hat. At the Fine Gael conference over the weekend, he delivered a keynote speech. How did he perform?
So I think he did pretty well in the room. You know, there was somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 Fine Gaelers down in University of Galway. They crammed into the main hall there, and he was greeted rapturously, as I suppose you would expect. And the theme for the Fine Gael Ordesh was a new energy. Anybody who tuned in on Saturday night will have seen it on Simon Harris's podium when he was delivering the speech.
I'm so proud to address you in Ullscoil na Gaillimh as I prepare to take on the greatest challenge of my life.
It sounds slightly corny, but there was a palpable energy down there, and there was great excitement amongst Fine Gaelers at the new leader. That's hardly surprising, though. I do think it was genuine, but it was also, as you would expect. My view is that a more important audience for Simon Harris is actually not the thousands of Fine Gael activists that were at the Ordesh, but rather swing voters at home who are maybe catching a clip on the news. Maybe some of them are watching the speech live. Not that many of them, I suspect. But more broadly, what he's got for now, I think, is a chance to introduce himself to people who don't follow the minutiae of politics on a day-by-day or hour-by-hour basis.
I want to tell you a little bit about myself and my vision for this great party. I'm a proud Wicklow man. I'm the eldest of three. My mother worked hard.
Harris made a point during his Ordesh speech of sending a direct message to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Prime Minister Netanyahu, let me say this to you this evening. The Irish people could not be clearer. We are repulsed by your actions. Ceasefire now and let the aid flow safely.
And he said that Ireland stands ready to recognise the state of Palestine.
And tonight from Galway, I reiterate that Ireland stands ready to recognise the state of Palestine.
Are you surprised by those comments?
I mean, yes and no, right? So one thing that you did notice in the hall was that when he made those comments, he got a standing ovation in the hall, which was the only in-speech standing ovation. Needless to say, he got one when he came in. Needless to say, he got one when he finished. But he got one in the middle of the speech for that. So that, I thought, was striking. So on one level, he was, you know, simply restating government policy, which has been for some time, that we stand ready to recognise the state of Palestine. The fact that he kind of saw fit to do so in those circumstances and the reaction to it, perhaps, suggests, I think, that maybe closer than lots of people had realised. And Micheál Martin has been talking, and he's Minister for Foreign Affairs, of course. I know he's been talking to other European leaders about that, other foreign ministers about that. So I don't stick my neck out too much, but I wouldn't be too amazed to see something happening on that in the not-too-distant future.
One headline from the Ardèche was when former Fine Gael TD Kate O'Connell spoke quite negatively about Leo Varadkar. She said his leadership was a dark time in her life. Now, O'Connell lost her seat in the Dublin Bay South election in 2016 and didn't run last time around. Could she return as a candidate under Simon Harris, or are there other Fine Gaelers who didn't love life under Varadkar who might now stage a comeback?
Yeah, I mean, she was certainly very visible down there. And I think that we can take it that she is open to an invitation back into politics. But there is in every constituency, I suppose, there are local factors to take into account there. I mean, I think in broader terms, the visibility of Kate O'Connell at the Ardèche the weekend and Phil Hogan, incidentally, I think Simon Harris won't have been upset about because it signals the change. It shows that, you know, Varadkar days are over and we now enter the Harris era, so to speak. I think that he was clearly identifying, Simon Harris is kind of identifying more with a premiership that will look something a bit more like Enda Kenny's rather than Leo Varadkar's. There's plenty of the, you know, fist bumping and backslapping and this kind of high octane enthusiasm that was more, I think, redolent of Enda Kenny's approach than of Leo Varadkar's approach. But a really important thing for Simon Harris is to show that there is a change in Fine Gael. Change is the great political trope of the age in many guises, and he will want to show a change in Fine Gael. So having those faces, you know, those who were very much not at home with Leo Varadkar, prominent at the weekend, I think he won't have been upset about.
Let's talk about the mechanics of today. How is it going to play out? And could anything go wrong and spoil Harris's celebrations?
Well, something usually goes wrong, whether we get to learn about it on the day or not. I don't think there's any doubt but that he will be elected Taoiseach today. The Dáil meets at 10:30. It will hear nomination for Taoiseach. He will be the nominee. There will be speeches in support of him from his own party and from his coalition partners explaining why they are backing his nomination as Taoiseach. There will be speeches from all the opposition leaders. They will demand an immediate general election. They're not going to get that because the coalition will continue to have a majority. One of the things to watch in the vote for Taoiseach will be just what is Simon Harris's majority in that vote? How many of the independent TDs, some of whom he has been talking to over the last couple of weeks in a bid to shore up their support, how many of those will he get to march through the division lobbies in his favour? Because while the government's majority on paper, that is to say the number of Fianna Fáil plus Fine Gael plus Green TDs, is marginal, in actual fact, this government has enjoyed the support of a bunch of independent TDs to the extent that its majority in the last number of confidence votes has been 19 or 20 votes. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of number Harris manages to pull in through the division lobby. So once Simon Harris is elected Taoiseach, then the Dáil will adjourn and he will go to Orsanooch Daron, where he will get his seal of office from the president. At that point, he will become Taoiseach. So Leo Varadkar went to Orsanooch Daron last night, on Monday night, where he resigned as Taoiseach, but he remains in the office of Taoiseach until his successor is appointed by the president, having won a vote in the Dáil. So there is never no Taoiseach there, if you know what I mean. So after that, and the pleasantries are concluded, the protocol indicates that the president of the Taoiseach might sit down, have a cup of tea, and then he will go back to government buildings. So he will be welcomed into government buildings by the Secretary General of the Department, John Calnan. He will go to the Taoiseach's office and he will begin to select his cabinet. So he will call up individual ministers and they will be told what job they are or aren't getting. Once he has done that, then the Dáil will sit again, probably at about 5:00 or so. He will walk in, all the TDs will be there. He will lead in his cabinet, which will be arranged in order of seniority, that is to say, how long they have been a minister, they will walk in, and while I and my colleagues will be working the phones all afternoon to see who has got the nod and who hasn't got the nod, it's just at that time that we will have confirmation of the new cabinet. So he will bring those in. There will be another debate between government and opposition. Then there will be a vote to confirm the appointments of the new cabinet. After that vote passes, as we assume it will, then the Dáil will adjourn. The new ministers will go out to Áras an Uachtaráin with the new Taoiseach. So they all get their seals of office. At that point, they become ministers. The old ministers are no longer ministers. And at that point, then, the cabinet will traditionally have its first meeting in Áras an Uachtaráin, probably in the dining room of Áras an Uachtaráin is where it normally takes place. There will be a... It's normally not a terribly lengthy cabinet meeting, a fairly light agenda, it would be the general expectation, and then the new government is in place.
The cabinet reshuffle is probably the most interesting part, because we'll learn something we don't yet know. The Fine Gael leader has two clear openings. There's his own brief as Minister for Further and Higher Education, and then there's that of Simon Coveney as Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. But other roles could change too. It's Simon Harris's first big challenge as Taoiseach. So what will he be looking to achieve here? Will he be focused on rewarding ability, or are there other factors at play?
Well, there's always other factors in politics. There's geography, there's gender, and I suppose there's that sort of intangible sense to satisfy that he needs to project a change. He needs to show a change. The fact of his own election as Taoiseach is a sign of change. He has Simon Coveney's job to give away. I suppose one of the big questions is, will Helen McEntee stay in the Department of Justice? She certainly wants to stay in the Department of Justice, but that's one of the early big calls that Simon Harris will have to make. Some chat that there might be change in Chief Whip. Hildegard Nocton, who's currently the Chief Whip, will she stay in Cabinet? Some chat that she might move to take charge of a government department, which would open up a vacancy at Chief Whip. Question of whether Helen McEntee, I think it is very unlikely that Helen McEntee would be dropped altogether from Cabinet. I mean, I say this, you know, whilst adding the caveat, we know nothing yet. And quite possibly these decisions are not made until the last minute. And we joked earlier about something going wrong, and I've covered loads of reshuffles, and you know, sometimes it does happen that somebody refuses to take the job that the Taoiseach had decided upon for them. And then the Taoiseach is faced with the question of, well, do I sack this person from Cabinet completely, or do I reshuffle my reshuffle, so to speak? And so all those ducks have to be put up in a line. Other names that are suggested for possible promotion are Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD from Dublin Rathdown, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, who's TD for Dunleering, currently a junior minister. Neil Richmond is junior minister for business. Certainly Jennifer Carroll McNeill, to the extent that one can read anything at all into this, was very prominent at the Ardèche, had a key kind of warm-up slot before Simon Harris's speech on Saturday evening. But look at, you know, for the next couple of hours at least, this is all speculation. I say one further thing about reshuffles is that we tend to completely obsess about them, and as does everybody around Leinster House and government buildings. My view has always been the extent to which they impact on the public is limited enough. People will certainly notice that there is a new Taoiseach. Will they be able to name the new Minister for Higher Education after today? Will they be able to even name the new Minister for Justice if there is a change after today? Very many of them, actually, you'll find, won't be able. That's not to diminish the importance of the choices that Simon Harris would make. It's just, I think, to perhaps pour some cold water on their potential political effect.
Mm. We've mentioned Helen McEntee, and she did say at the weekend that she'd made no secret of the fact that she wants to continue her job in justice. But there's been speculation that she might be moved from this department. What are the calculations that Simon Harris will be making around McEntee in particular?
Yeah, good question. So you're right that she has said she's made no secret of her desire to stay in justice. And if she's telling us in the media that, then it's presumably a point she has made in private to Harris as well. There was also, there was a story on the front page of the Indo yesterday which quoted senior Fine Gael sources suggesting that actually moving Helen McEntee would be a surrender to the far right or something along those lines, which suggests, I think, that, you know, some senior Fine Gael sources are concerned about the future of Helen McEntee in the Department of Justice to, you know, to be no more inquisitive than that about it. So I think some of the things that Simon Harris will be weighing up as he decides on her future and the other cabinet posts is that he wants to project change. Fine Gael has been having a very difficult time of it in the polls over the last while. The fact that its leader or its former leader has left is evidence enough of that, and is evidence of the fact that Leo Varadkar clearly believed that a change was necessary for Fine Gael to prosper electorally. And we are, of course, you know, a couple of months from local and European elections, and at most, what, 11 months before a general election. So Fine Gael clearly needs some sort of a change in the relationship it has with those voters that might be available to it at the moment. Justice has been a difficult, politically tricky portfolio in the last 2 years. I mean, it nearly always is, you know. But in a couple of specific instances, there's widespread Fine Gael scepticism about the hate speech, hate crime bill. So that's, and Simon Harris himself has said that he does believe that there needs to be a hate crime legislation, but he will look at the hate speech element of that legislation. Helen McEntee herself has said that she will be looking at amendments to the legislation when it comes back to the Seanad, where it has, where it last surfaced almost a year ago. So that's one element of political difficulty. The much bigger one, I think, actually, is on immigration. That, as you will know well, sir, that's a very broad area, but the political sensitivity of dealing with asylum seekers, dealing with the numbers of asylum seekers that have come in and overwhelmed many of the facilities that the state has to cater for them, is a hot political topic. And it is one that I think Simon Harris will want to show some movement on. He will want to say something new about it or do something new about it. And it may be that he decides it is easier to do that with a new minister. Or it may be that he says, you know, this, he talked on his speech on Saturday about an asylum system that is tough but fair. My guess is that he will be emphasising the tough bit as much as he is the fair bit. And that is likely to mean, I think, probably more deportations of people who haven't qualified for international protection. And in general terms, a more strenuous application of the existing laws. I don't think that, you know, the laws that govern asylum are going to be changed, because so many of them are the product of international agreements. But I think the application of those laws is something that the government is likely to move towards. And the judgment that he will have to make is whether that is more likely to be successful with a new minister. And, you know, people often say it takes a minister 6 months to get to grips with his or her department, and justice is a huge department, mm-hmm. or whether he's better off having the current face of the Department of Justice, Helen McEntee, do that.
Harris is clearly not lacking in energy and ambition, but he may also be looking at a very short term as leader in this country, with a general election coming down the tracks and the European local elections in June. Pat, what do you think are the quick wins he could turn around to benefit his party in the upcoming elections?
I should say, before we get to that, before we finish our reshuffle speculation, that one name that I didn't mention earlier on, but which is on everybody's lips for a likely promotion, is Peter Burke, who is currently the junior minister for European Affairs. And he's a close ally of Simon Harris and is hotly tipped for promotion. As to the quick wins for Simon Harris, I mean, Simon Harris isn't going to rewrite the programme for government, not least because programme for government has already been agreed with his coalition partners. I think one of the most important things he will have to do is to establish a kind of modus vivendi with his coalition partners. He will have to establish a relationship of trust with the other political leaders, the other party leaders in the coalition, and he will have to show that he can run his cabinet efficiently and towards political ends. We are in the last phase before a general election. He's not going to fix the housing problem before the general election. He's not going to fix the immigration issue before the general election. He's not going to fix cost of living difficulties before the general election. What he can do is he can signal to people that he can make some progress in those areas as a basis for making a pitch to the voters at the next election that he has a plan for the future and that more importantly, he has a credible plan for the future. And the test of credibility, I guess, is not just its own coherence and viability, but whether he can demonstrate some movement on these things in the months between now and the general election. And that is a difficult ask because the great machine of government works slowly and it tends to work more slowly in the run into a general election than it does early on in a government's term. Simon Harris would be judged politically first and foremost on the results of the next general election. And we will be watching those polls over the next 6 months. We'll be watching the results of the local and European elections to show, has he made progress? Can he viably go to the electorate? Leo Varadkar clearly believed that he couldn't, but can Harris viably go before the next electorate or before the electorate at the next general election within, as we say, 11 months and credibly make a case of the only slogan that an incumbent government can run in an election, which is essentially some version of a lot done, more to do. Can he do that credibly? And that is what is up for grabs for him over the coming months.
That's all for today. For more reporting from our politics team, subscribe at irishtimes.com/subscribe. I'm Saoirse Pollock. Today's episode was produced by Declan Conlon. In the News, we'll be back tomorrow.
This podcast is brought to you by AJ Products, creating a more friction-free office. Made in Sweden for the rest of the world. Visit ajproducts.ie to see how we can make your workplace work for you.